Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is the Friday, October 15th edition of the show. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And of course, just a refresher, everybody knows Chris is on the phone this week. But you can see his smiling mug right there on the screen with me. Hopefully everybody's having a wonderful Friday so far, getting ready for a big football weekend. Not the normal big marquee matchups that we have kind of gotten used to over the first however many weeks of the season. But yeah, week 7 now, we got some fun, interesting games that we're going to be talking about, along with a few other things. Let me go ahead and get the show rolling, Chris. The first thing here is, where is game day going for college football week 8? I'll do the recap, but just where everybody needs to go here in a minute. Where is college game day going for week 8? So I got options here, Chris. And if we think that this week is bad for matchups, just wait until next week. We have got the ABC night game next week, which is Ohio State at Indiana. If Indiana gets a win over Michigan State, maybe you can try and sell that, but I doubt it. If Oklahoma State gets a win over Texas and Iowa State beats Kansas State, then can you maybe sell Oklahoma State, Iowa State?
Where's that game at? Where's that game being played at?
It's in Ames, and they've already been to Ames this year.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it was at OK State, then I would definitely sell that. But
yeah, Clemson at Pitt. Now Clemson's already got 2 losses. They are expected to win on Friday night this week against Syracuse. And Pitt goes to Virginia Tech, but Pitt could be the highest-ranked ACC team if they get that win this weekend. I mean, they've only got 1 loss. It is to Western Michigan. But, you know, maybe you get Clemson at Pitt. I mean, that, who knows, right? The one that I've got circled here, if they go to an FBS game, is Tennessee at Alabama is the night game on ESPN next week. So they have not been to a Tennessee game. They have not been to an Alabama game. And if Tennessee gets a win over Ole Miss, that makes them 5-2. They will most certainly be ranked at that point. And if Alabama gets the win over Mississippi State, they're still going to be a top-5 team. Do you kind of feel like that might be the route if they end up doing that?
Now I know why we were having this conversation all along.
No, we have this conversation every week. It's...
This is all
based on whether or not Tennessee wins, right? CBS has already picked up the Ole Miss LSU game next week, but we've kind of seen that ESPN, they're taking game day most every week to a location where they have the game. And that's the only reason I bring that up, is because they've got the night game there.
The reason they haven't gone to Alabama is simply because they didn't want to go to a CBS game.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And after this game, I don't know that you've got many other options to go to an Alabama game this year. So we shall see. Now, I do have other options here. I got 3 FBS or FCS games that I think that they might could go to. Number 1 FCS team, Sam Houston, is hosting number 24 Jacksonville State. That is a rematch of a playoff game from last year, if I'm not mistaken. But even if not, like, it's two top 25 FCS teams. And Sam Houston, of course, won the national title in FCS last year. So that could be a fun one to go to. They've also got North Dakota State hosting Missouri State. So, of course, Bobby Petrino going to the Fargo Dome. That could be interesting. That's number 3 against number 20. And then you've also got South Dakota State hosting Northern Iowa. That's number 7 against number 16 in the FCS. Any one of those might end up being a lot of fun. I like it when they go to places that they haven't been. I don't know that I've ever seen them go to Sam Houston.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's more interesting when they go to new places, which is going to bring me back to my question that I had when you said, well, there aren't a lot of options outside of this to go back to Alabama. You've been to Alabama every year, multiple times a year, oftentimes. Why is it your God-given responsibility to go to Alabama?
No, you
only
I
got like 15 to 17 different – you only got like 15 different chances to go to a game. And you got 130 schools out there. You got a shitload of schools that have never had this thing. Why do you have to go to the same places multiple times all the time? The fact that they're going to Athens twice, and they did game day from Georgia Clemson to start the season, it's just like, damn, what are we doing?
Like, I can kind of.
It's the third Georgia game. It's the second time in Athens.
I can kind of get it because there were not a lot of options. I really thought that they were going to go to Cincinnati this week. While it is a 3-touchdown spread for Cincy and UCF, ABC's got the game, and you've got more than a 3-touchdown spread with Georgia and Kentucky. So why are we doing Georgia again? Like that, especially Athens 2 times in 3 weeks. I mean, that just makes no sense. So they like
we're
to,
in it, Gary. We're in a week 7, and they've been to Georgia game 3 of the 7 games.
Yes, yes, I'm with you. This is really, is this becoming a big time like network battle? Like they just refuse to go to any of the Fox games?
It has to be, but that means they're going to cut off that. Listen, this is one of the best shows on television all year long, okay? And they're going to ruin it playing politics. And I'm not talking about politics of the day. I'm talking about politics within the networks of this pissing contest that they've got, because they're going to leave out a lot of places. And you don't always, just in case you're wondering, you don't always have to go to the two biggest teams, the two biggest schools. We've seen them go to smaller places, and they were amazing. We saw them come to Memphis SMU, and it was amazing. And that's just not me being a Memphis homer here. That it was an unbelievable thing. Nobody in the world thought Memphis was one of the best schools in the country. Nobody thought SMU was the top 5 team in the country. But it was a great game.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Like, you don't have to just go to two big teams.
I mean, obviously, you would like for them to be two teams with, you know, how about this? Two good teams. You want it to be two good teams. But it doesn't have to be two ranked teams. It doesn't have to be whatever.
I'd rather it be a good game than two good teams. Why? Why do they both have to be undefeated or both have to have 1 or 2 losses? Why can't you go to a 500-level team? Why can't you go to UAB one weekend when they're home and showcase that new stadium that's amazing? They're going to have some awesome matchups. Go there.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun if they went to UAB. However, next week, UAB...
That's like the hub of college football world.
Yeah, no, UAB right now, though, like next week they're hosting Rice. And that's kind of tough to sell that one.
You're only looking at next week, and I'm looking at the picture and the argument. Gary, they're not going to UAB all year. It doesn't matter. They've already made up their mind. They've drawn a line in the sand that we're only going to showcase these big teams that we think, I think they're a little in the pocket for the SEC. I think they're absolutely trying to push that relationship farther than they ever could. And they're going to end up hurting everybody else in part of that.
Yeah, I don't really understand why they're doing so they've got game day in Athens, but they also took SEC Nation to Athens, and that's the SEC Network Saturday morning show. You could have absolutely had SEC Nation in Knoxville this weekend. Because
game day should have went to Knoxville. Game day should have went to Knoxville, by the way. How long has it been since Tennessee's had a big-time game like this?
Oh, it's been years.
That's the most exciting game of the weekend. It won't be close.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree. So my two guesses here are Alabama, Tennessee next week, and Sam Houston, Jacksonville State. I would like to see them go to Sam Houston. I think that that would be the most electric atmosphere that they could go to next week. You tend to agree with that?
I have no opinion. I don't care. It's dumb.
All right. I have got some trivia for you just a little bit. I'm just curious if maybe you know this off the top of your head. I have got in front of me a list of the most watched games in college football this season. I've got the top 12. I want to see if you can name, let's see, four or five of them just off the top of your head. What do you think are the highest viewed games this year?
Georgia Clemson.
That is number one, 8.863 million people on ABC.
Alabama, Texas A&M.
That's number two, 8.334 million on CBS last week.
I would guess, what's the biggest Notre Dame game we've had? Was it Notre Dame, maybe Cincinnati, or Notre Dame, Wisconsin, either of those?
Notre Dame, Wisconsin is actually the number 12. It is 5.369 million.
Maybe Ohio State, Oregon.
Ohio State, Oregon was number five. That's 7.73 million.
Pretty good at this.
Oh, yeah.
The Red River Rivalry. I bet that was up there.
That one is number nine. That was 5.94 million on ABC last week.
The Ole Miss-Arkansas game should have been, but I guarantee it won't because
nope.
They're too small schools.
No, it was too small. Too small. And it was going head-to-head with Red River. So.
Yeah, and both were good. Red River was a great game. That was a great game, though.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's a lot. I've guessed almost all of it.
Yes, so, you did. Yeah, you did well.
Everything I've guessed is on the list.
Yeah, you did well.
Where do you want me to go?
No.
Penn State-Auburn. Penn State-Auburn was probably big.
Yes, Penn State-Auburn was number six. That's 7.606 million on ABC back on September 18th.
I bet Penn State-Iowa didn't make the list. How about that? How about I give you that?
You would be incorrect. Penn State,
wow,
Iowa.
Wow, they made the list. Iowa showing up.
Number seven. Actually, more than Oklahoma, Texas last week.
Penn State. That makes you proud.
Oh, yeah. 6.904 million on Fox, and that was, of course, last week. Some of the other ones that are in
that
here.
That makes you real proud.
Number three was Alabama, Florida on CBS. Of course, that one came down to the wire, 7.863 million. Number four was Notre Dame at Florida State. That standalone window on Sunday of opening weekend.
I forgot that they had the standalone window. Oh, Notre Dame game standalone would have definitely done it. That
oh, yeah. 7.75 million on ABC on that one. Let's see. You said Oregon, Ohio State, Auburn, Penn State, Iowa. How about this one? The Thursday night game, Ohio State at Minnesota, 6.295 million on Fox. That was
week one.
Yep, week one. Week one as well, Alabama, Miami was number 10 at 5.674 million on ABC. And then number 11 and 12.
That's 5.67 million people that wasted their fucking time.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Penn State, Wisconsin on Fox, 5.4 million on opening weekend. And then Wisconsin, Notre Dame, you already said that one, 5.36 on Fox. So a lot of big-time football games this year. We have not had this many 5 million viewer games in at least 2 years. Because
ratings are up across the board for NFL and football.
Yeah, it turns out, you get things kind of back to normal. You put crowds back in the stands and whatnot, and everybody gets back to watching. So
it is strange that the ratings went up when people couldn't go.
Ratings went down when people couldn't go.
Yeah, well, sorry. Ratings went down when people couldn't go. Ratings went up when people could go. That's weird to me. You would think all those people that are there watching at home now, ratings would have... Anyway,
I think there was so much more going on. Of course, last year was also an election year, and ratings always go down in election years as well. There was a lot. People had a lot on their plate, so you didn't get as many fringe fans as usual. So, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense.
That's a sad life for those people.
I do agree with you. I do agree. I'm not a fringe fan, and you know that. So
No. Nobody getting caught up in stuff that you can't control and it's just going to piss you off. And get y'all angry. If you're going to be pissed off and angry, get pissed off and angry for something important, like college football. Hate somebody because they're an Alabama fan. That's what I do.
I like
people,
it.
People say all the time, you're prejudiced, Chris. I am. You're damn right I am. I hate Alabama fans. I don't care who you are.
I like it. I do find it funny that the one time I've ever heard you bet on Alabama was last week.
Hey, wow. It was the greatest loss of my life. I gave you the old reverse jinx.
It worked. I'm kind of wondering if you did the same.
I'm doing it again this week. I'm betting Florida.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I can understand that.
Putting the Florida now.
Oh, my God. Here, let me go ahead and give the rundown now that we're 15 minutes into this thing. Go to winningcureseverything.com. That is the website that's got everything you need to know about us, everywhere that you can follow us. Of course, if you're watching the show, you already see the Twitter stuff on the screen, but where you need to subscribe and follow, et cetera. So go ahead and check that out. Leave a nice 5-star review on the Apple Podcast. Or you can just subscribe at any of your favorite podcast apps. And, of course, the YouTube. Make sure you are subscribed over there. We are rolling with the numbers on YouTube very much so. The show is brought to you every single week, every single time, by BetUS, where the game begins. You can use the promo code NCAAF2021, and it's going to give you 125% deposit bonus up to $2,500, and it is sportsbook exclusive. I can't stress it enough. Make sure and go grab the deal while you can. There's a link in the description for that, so make sure you can just click the link. It's going to toss the promo code in there for you. Along with that, I host a show for BetUS, the college football show over there. Chris hosts the SBR Picks college football show for Sportsbook Review. You can find that as well in the description. Go ahead and check those links. Make sure you are subscribed where you need to subscribe. Chris, let's talk the college football preview for Week 7. I asked Chris... let's see, 4 questions every week, and we kind of dive into exactly what is going on in the weekend. Chris, what is the best game of the weekend?
Best game of the weekend, Rocky Top, baby. Not close. Not close.
I agree.
Ole Miss going up to Tennessee. I'm going to tell you this. You know I don't go to a lot of games. I really, really, really wish I had more free time in my hands. My ass would be heading up north to Knox.
It is, it's going to be slammed. It, like you said, there has not been a game like this in quite some time. Quite some time. So, yeah, I'm curious to see the scene. I think it's going to be sold out. They are checkering Neyland. And for those that don't know, it's they've got the checkered end zones. It's white and orange. They're going to do the same thing in all the sections. So every section, white or orange, it's going to be checkered across the board. It's pretty awesome the way that they do it. And when they've actually got something to cheer for, that stadium can get very rowdy. Very, very rowdy. So I'm pumped to see it. And, you know, Ole Miss, we'll see what happens with them. They are 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 SEC games. So with all the hype about Kiffin, defense hadn't really shown up to play. It wouldn't surprise me for Tennessee to win this game. Of course, it's less than a field goal spread. But, that's definitely one of them. I had a couple of other options here. I don't think Kentucky-Georgia is going to be a good game. So I just kind of marked it off the list. Oklahoma State, Texas, I think could be a lot of fun. You kind of feel the same?
Yep. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, hang on. It could be a dud of a game to watch because Oklahoma State has basically said we're going to play in the mud. We're going to become a Big Ten team, and we're going to see how that works out, slowing these big teams back.
Yeah. They are really good against the run. And that
so
Jim
I think
Knowles
it could
defense.
Be a close game, but I don't know that it would be an exciting or fun game.
That Casey Thompson might have an injury. He might have a thumb
got
injury.
Bust the thumb.
Yeah, so that could
and
be.
You got that defensive front that's been giving people hell this year, and at some point in time, one of those big hombres is going to fall on that thumb.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. Another interesting game, or best game of the weekend, whatever, Auburn at Arkansas. Man, I think them Razor Pigs are going to be fired up for this one. At first game back in Fayetteville since, week 3, I guess it was? Because
that's on my list of other things that we're going to talk about.
Yes, that one is big, big. And BYU-Baylor, I think, could be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about it here in a little bit, but that Jeff Grimes story is very interesting. Of course, he was hired to Dave Aranda's staff over at Baylor after leading BYU to an 11-1 season last year as the offensive coordinator. He is doing some fantastic stuff with that Baylor offense right now. I think that could be a lot of fun. Who has the most to gain this weekend? I got an answer for you.
Okay, fire away.
I think it's Tennessee. Tennessee.
Okay, yeah.
Tennessee can move to 5-2. If there is the chance that game day comes to a Tennessee game, they haven't done it in a long, long time. this is a big time recruiting sell for Heupel's program. I think this is a big weekend for Rocky Top.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my answer. I just was trying to get off of the game, you know, to just keep talking about other games.
Ain't no sense in getting off the game. I think it's the biggest game this weekend. I think it's the most interesting. I think it's the best.
The whole college football world should be centered around it.
Yes. Yes, 100%. 100%. I know that Tennessee is not ranked in the AP poll or whatever, but they should be.
I don't care.
Their two losses have stacked up pretty well. I mean, you go to Gainesville and lose. Okay, that's totally fair. You lose at home to Pitt, who only has one loss on the season, and turns out they're actually a pretty good football team.
And it was a close game.
Yes.
Pitt came in and kicked the shit out of them.
And I think they would have won had they played Hendon Hooker the whole ball game.
Yes, Hendon Hooker, the man. Dude, I'm so excited to watch that kid play football. He's really good.
He is.
He's really good.
He most certainly is.
He's big as shit, too. I love that.
Who has the most to lose this weekend?
I think it's a 20-point spread, so no one thinks they will lose. But you give old Gus 2 weeks to prepare a new quarterback after coming off an injury. Cincinnati loses. It's all over. Everything they've done so far is over.
Yeah, that is a big one. I had trouble with this one this weekend. I mean, obviously the big ones, you know, Ohio State loses or whoever, right? There's all kinds of different
things. All of the people that it matters if they win or lose, I'll give you another one. I think this is where we should talk about Arkansas or Auburn.
Yeah.
The loser of that game is going to lose a lot. Because right now, they're firmly planted in the top tier of the SEC West, which is pretty much, you know, pretty strong right now. And you lose this game, you definitely get relegated to the middle tier. And people start questioning, should you go lower than that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Obviously, you know, Iowa is an 11.5-point favorite at home. Against Purdue, but man, they have not fared well against Purdue. They're only 1-3 straight up against them the last 4 years. Jeff Brohm has some kind of hoodoo magic against those guys, so that could be an interesting one. Now, Purdue has not been able to score. Their quarterback has turnover problems. I don't expect it. The other one, the most to lose this weekend, Iowa State has already lost two ball games. They're going to Kansas State this weekend. All that hype about Matt Campbell this year, all that crazy stuff.
Cash that lottery ticket when you can. What do I tell you, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Every year. Listen, don't put that sumbitch in the cupboard and think it's going to be fine next year. I can just pull it out anytime I want and cash it.
There's an expiration date.
That thing's got a shelf life, baby.
Yep. You are not wrong about that. So that's a crazy one. It's a 6.5-point spread in favor of Iowa State heading to Manhattan, Kansas.
On the road, man.
Yeah, you never know about those games, man. The Wildcats always play kind of crazy, and Skylar Thompson's back. Who knows what to expect out of that team right now. The playoff sleeper that you've got for this week, I'll start us off. I got a weird one.
Okay.
I looked at Ole Miss's schedule.
I've been giving us Ole Miss all year.
So Ole Miss, I don't think anybody really considered it, especially after the Alabama loss a couple weeks ago. I don't think anybody really gave them a ton of credit, but if you get through Tennessee, you got LSU next week on CBS, and I think they're going to put up points on the Tigers. You got at Auburn, you got Liberty, you got A&M, you got Vanderbilt, you got at Mississippi State. Is there anybody on there that really scares you if you can get this win in Knoxville?
The answer to that is no, and what you got to wonder, what you got to think about is, can Alabama go on the road and win a game?
That's the question, because so the reason I've got them as a playoff sleeper, now you only have to get Alabama beat one more time.
One more time, baby. And they got to go to Auburn, who has been just a thorn in Bama's side.
Hey, not even the Auburn game. Here is what Alabama's got left. If they get through Mississippi State this weekend, you got Tennessee for homeomkcoming. And then you've got a bye week.
At Alabama's tough. At Alabama, I don't see anybody beating them.
Well, you say that, yes, but they have had more losses under Saban at home than they have on the road. So, I mean, who knows, right? Tennessee's offense against this Alabama defense, I mean, A&M put up 41 on them, and A&M only put up 10 on Arkansas. Now, obviously, we can talk styles make fights, all that kind of mess. You know, what it was a perfect night for A&M. We get, but you got Tennessee there, you got LSU, you got Arkansas coming in, and then you got at Auburn. So it
LSU ain't beating anybody this year. We're not winning another SEC game. I told you if we didn't beat the state, we weren't going to win another SEC game. We're not winning another SEC game.
I do feel bad for your Tigers because losing Butte, like that was the offensive weapon.
Let me tell you something. No other team in the world has had three players like Jamar Chase, Derek Stingley Jr., and Kayshon Butte with that kind of talent and got to see so little of them.
True.
No other team in the history of college football has had three stars that good and got to see so little of them.
No, you're 100% right. 100% right. With Alabama, like if you get Alabama beat one more time, and that is not out of the realm of possibilities with this team, you
now,
could
the
absolutely.
The problem is, let's say they get to Atlanta with one loss, and they get whooped by Georgia, like everybody else has been whooped by Georgia, but now they got two losses. Now, let's say the whole damn rest of the country's got two losses, except for Cincinnati and Georgia. Okay? Let's just say there's chaos, because I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibilities, by the way.
I think you're right.
So, can a two-loss team, Ole Miss, they're not going to beat – Alabama's going to jump them, because Alabama beat them head-to-head, and everybody's going to say that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that Ole Miss could beat Georgia. Like, and the reason I say that, Georgia has not had to play an offense like this.
I'd love to at least see it. I think Georgia's the best team in the country, and I don't think it's close.
Oh, I agree.
But
with
I'd
you.
At least like. I would at least like to watch it.
No, I very much agree.
They might whip their ass, but I want to see them whip their ass.
No, I agree with you 100%. I do think Georgia is the significantly better team. But you look at the offenses that they've faced so far, like, I don't have any faith in Auburn whatsoever. So, you know, whatever there. Arkansas was coming off of a gauntlet. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, UAB, and Clemson. Like, name me an offense in the first four there. So.
Oh, no. No. And this weekend, they're playing, another terrible offense. That does exactly what they want them to do.
Georgia,
run the football.
Georgia has to go to Knoxville, by the way, on November 13th. So that could be interesting. That could be, and not that I think Tennessee is great. Obviously, Florida was able to shut down that offense, but they have got it clicking right now.
No, but Florida was able to shut down that offense early in the season.
Yep. You're right about that.
That's obviously a team that is getting coached up. They're getting better every week, which is what you're supposed to do. It's what good coach teams are supposed to do. I told you this was a spectacular hire. I told you that I liked this hire.
Yeah. No.
Everybody laughed at me. I was the guy, baby. He's a good hire. He's a good coach.
And that's what they've needed for a long, long time is a good hire. Just a good hire. Danny White looks good right now. He certainly does.
He looks good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You ready to move into Pick'em?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. College football off the radar Pick'em for week 7. Last week, I went 8-3 against the number. Chris went 7-4, and that kind of got us back on the right side of things a little bit. I am sitting at 31-29-1. Chris is sitting at 23-37-1. Let's start off with Nebraska at Minnesota. Now, these are games that we have not... or at least I have not hit on the BetUS show. Nebraska, Scott Frost last week, just crying after the Minnesota game, or at least looked like it. Like he knew, not the Minnesota, excuse me, the Michigan game. He looked like he was so upset because he knew that was his shot. And Adrian Martinez continues in big time spots. And I think, did we talk about this on the show last week? Like he, yeah. It just, I don't even understand how it's possible, but he has got no clutch gene. At a third and one, and you've got the first down and you fumble the ball. I mean, it just, it's so irritating. But this is not one of those spots, because I don't think they're going to have to worry about a clutch situation here. I think Nebraska is significantly better. Minnesota, God, I cannot talk tonight. Minnesota is a four-point underdog at home. Total is 48. My line on this was actually 10 in favor of Nebraska. I think they are that much better. Minnesota's defense is number 21 in EPA per rush defense, but Nebraska's defense on the other side is going to shut down Minnesota. They are absolutely going to shut them down. Minnesota's number 112 in offensive success rate, and Nebraska's number 11 in EPA per play on offense. So even if you shut down the run, Adrian Martinez has shown he's able to throw the ball a little bit. I think Nebraska kind of takes out some frustration here. I don't think Minnesota's very good. I'm going to take Nebraska minus the four.
Everything in the world is telling me to take Nebraska. If they had a home, I would 100% take them. But I don't know that Nebraska is a road team. I don't know that Nebraska can go on the road. They're struggling to win games at home. I'm going to take the point. I think Nebraska has improved a lot there. But I think they'll keep this thing close. I think Nebraska is not good enough to kick the shit out of anybody. So everything's going to be a field goal game, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair. This line actually opened at 2.5. It's been bet up to 4. I still like it at 4. That's my way. Moving on from there, we get to talk about Michigan State again. And I always love talking about the Spartans. They are on the road at Indiana. It's a noon game on FS1, or noon Eastern time game on FS1. Indiana, a 4.5-point dog at home, total of 48.5. The odds provided by BetUS, where the game begins. Click the link in the description. Go ahead and sign up with that promo code and get yourself a sign-up bonus. Michigan State is number 21 in EPA per play margin. Indiana is number 120. There is nothing as far as analytics that I can find that would give Indiana any kind of an advantage in this game. Michigan State is legitimately good. We have to get those preseason thoughts out of the way. Chris, I had Michigan State under 4.5 wins on the season. We both did. This is completely unexpected, but we got to stop looking at before the season and figure out what they are right now. Peyton Thorne and what he's doing, Kenneth Walker III, they are unbelievable, and their defense is good. I don't know how Indiana keeps this thing close, because whether Penix is playing, I think Penix is out for this game, whatever, even with a week of preparation, because Indiana had a bye week, even at home, I just do not see how they keep this thing close. I'm going to roll Michigan State minus the 4.5 here.
I'm 100% with you. Are you sure it's Michigan State minus 4.5? Because I thought Indiana minus 4.5.
No, it's Michigan State minus 4.5.
Okay, that's misprint. All right. Yep. I'm rolling Michigan too. Listen, you talked about how we got to stop. This is you people, all right? Y'all are the ones that think that whatever you are before the season starts is what you are the whole year, okay? I don't think that. I've been riding this team since week 3. I saw the first 2 games and thought, I was wrong. This team is good. They run the football. They do not turn the ball over. They control the line of scrimmage. They don't commit penalties. This is what you do to win football games, to keep yourself in close games against better opponents, and to consistently put pressure and ride and beat opponents that you're better than, okay? So I've been making money on this team all year long after week 2. And I'm not getting off that train yet. No. Why?
Let's move to...
I forgot about the preseason ranking a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Moving to the SEC Network, another noon game, a noon Eastern game. Texas A&M off that massive, massive win over Alabama. A&M is a 9-point favorite on the road at Missouri. Total is 59.5. This is basically a statistically bad A&M offense against a bad Missouri defense and a good Missouri offense against a good A&M defense. So, who breaks, right? It basically, Are we expecting to see the same A&M that showed up at night at Kyle Field and upset the number one team in the country? Or do we revert back to what they were, where they were putting up 10 points on Arkansas or when they got beat at home by Mississippi State? The line stinks. Go ahead.
No, the line doesn't stink. Okay. If they don't beat Alabama, this is what the line should have been. Right? I was all looking forward to betting against A&M this week because I love to bet against a team that's coming up with a big hype win like that, something like that. I think you're always going to have a knockdown. But here's the problem. If they play, like you set up, if they play against Missouri the way they played against Alabama, this would be a 25-point line, okay? They'd be a 25-point favorite against Missouri because Missouri is that bad, all right?
Yeah.
No one thinks they're going to play that way 2 weeks in a row. The books know that. And so the books made the line reasonable. As mediocre as A&M had looked throughout the season so far before last week, they're still good enough to beat Missouri by more than a touchdown. So I like A&M. I was expecting this line to be a lot bigger.
I'm going to ride Missouri plus the 9 because I do think that they revert back. And this is the classic hangover spot, right? And yes,
what does Missouri do well?
Missouri throws the ball well.
All right. I mean, did they throw the ball well against Boston College? Okay.
Yeah, throwing the ball well against basically everybody.
Who's throwing the ball well against?
Against everybody, but
look at the schedule. Who's a good team that they play that plays defense?
Let's see. Hold on. I'll find this for you. A good team that they have played that actually plays defense. Tennessee would be one, and they, of course, got hammered by Tennessee. But, you know.
Yeah, they didn't score against Tennessee a whole lot. And Tennessee doesn't play a lot of defense, by the way. Just in case you're wondering, Tennessee defense kind of sucks.
Let's see.
They're a lot like Ole Miss.
They put up 25 on Kentucky. They put up 34 on Boston College.
They
Tennessee
put up
game.
How much on Kentucky?
They put up 28 on. It was 35-28 loss for them against Kentucky. So Missouri has not covered in 9 straight games dating back to last year. They are 0-9 against the number, and that's why I'm riding with them because at some point
I'm with you. That's my philosophy, and I'm doing what your philosophy is. But I don't care about the I don't look at the past at all. I'm just looking at these two teams right now. I think what I've seen just from Missouri, not from A&M, just from Missouri, I think A&M would have been favored by a touchdown if they lose to Alabama last week.
Yeah, I can see that. So, and with this being 9, like if A&M wins by a touchdown, I get a cover. But if A&M wins by 10, you get the cover. So either way, I do think it's close. I don't like it enough that this would be like an official play for me over on the BetUS show. But yeah, I mean, I'll take Missouri in this spot because it the line stinks just enough to me to make it where I'm going to ride Missouri because I just think it's a hangover spot. I think A&M cannot possibly play as well as they did in that first half. And remember, in the third quarter...
But that's the thing, Gary. They don't have to play that well to beat this team by 9.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. We'll see. I think Isaiah Spiller is going to have a monster game in this. So we'll see what happens. Moving on, we got a 2 p.m. game, and I like hitting some of these, you know, these smaller games are more interesting to me sometimes. Ball State is traveling to Eastern Michigan. This is an ESPN Plus game. It's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Eastern Michigan is a 1-point underdog, and the total is 55.5. Eastern Michigan has played really, really well, and I think that this line is where it is almost because of laundry. Right, almost because everybody saw Ball State last year, and they don't see what they're doing this year. Ball State is not playing well at all. At just some of the metrics here, Ball State number 115 in EPA per play margin. They are number 99 in quality drive rate. Eastern Michigan is number 70 in EPA per play margin, and they are number 48 in quality drive ratio. Every statistic says that this is a mismatch in favor of Eastern Michigan, and I'm catching points with them. So I am absolutely going to ride with Chris Creighton in that bunch. You know how much love I got for EMU. I'm going to roll with Eastern Michigan to get the win outright at home, even as a one-point underdog.
Yeah, I think that's the right play. Ball State hadn't been good at all. I bet on them a couple of times earlier this season. Then finally I looked back and felt they were like 1-4, and I was like, what in the hell am I doing? Get off the team. This is terrible. I don't know what happened up there, but
they and San Jose State were both really, really good in the 2020 season, and I wonder if some of that was just like a crazy magical year during a COVID season where everybody else was down and they just took advantage of it. But it has been strange to see because they returned like all 22 starters. I mean, it was crazy. Like they really should have been better, and they just have not performed. Now, of course, watch them come out and win by 2 touchdowns here, but I will take Eastern Michigan in the spot. I think there's value. My line on it was actually Eastern Michigan -3. My buddy Parker, his line on it was actually Eastern Michigan -9. So I'll take Eastern Michigan here because I think they are going to play really well at home in this spot. So we'll roll on from there. ACC Network game. And, brother, before the season, if I had told you that Miami at North Carolina was going to be on the ACC Network instead of a major network, I think both of us might have thought the other one was crazy. I mean, the fact that this is a 3:30 p.m. game Eastern time on the ACC Network and was chosen or the BYU-Baylor game and Pitt-Virginia Tech were both chosen for the major networks over this one surprised me. Absolutely surprised me. North Carolina is a 7.5-point favorite, total of 63. My line on this was actually North Carolina -6, but there is no consistency with either one of these teams. There is nothing that could happen in this game that would surprise me. Because I don't know what to expect out of either team at any point. I will tell you this. Miami's advanced stats absolutely suck. This team is awful. Absolutely awful. And now I got to wonder if Diaz has lost the locker room. And did you see this mess about him accidentally tweeting that De'Aaron King has opted out for the season? Like, and the locker room was apparently really pissed off about this. Tyler Van Dyke is going to be the quarterback going forward, but the players are mad because he deleted the tweet and went back and said that, you know, De'Aaron's hurt, so he's not going to be able to play the rest of the year. But this was a strange situation. What do you think about this one?
Well, I mean, I think he's a dead man walking. I don't think he's any different than Ed Orgeron. He's just not in a school that's nearly as big or as famous right now because they haven't done anything relevant in the last 25 years.
Is that they came in, you know, his second year, he brought in Rhett Lashley, and it seemed like they had some things moving in the right direction when they brought in De'Aaron King. I mean, they went 8-3 last year, returned over 90% of their returning production, and it's not that I didn't see Miami, you know, not being a great football team. Obviously, you could expect that. I did not see them being this awful. I mean, every single number you can think of, they are terrible. I'm going to take North Carolina -7.5. But would it shock you if North Carolina didn't show up in this spot either?
No, I mean, yeah, at some point in time, yeah. I think they're too well coached. At some point in time, they got to just stop having letdowns. I don't see Miami as that big of a disappointment because I don't know how great I thought they were before the season started. But this North Carolina team is a massive disappointment. Just don't know that it get much better than or worse than what they've given us.
Now you're 100% right there, 100% right. Moving on, we got another ACC tilt to hit on. 3:30 p.m. ESPN2, Pitt at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a 5-point underdog at home, total of 56. And this, of course, 1 week after they gave up an 8-point lead in the final, 4 minutes of that game against Notre Dame. I mean, just lost in heartbreaking fashion. And now, of course, they're an underdog at home. I think this is kind of a must-win for Virginia Tech. The Virginia Tech offense is the weakest unit on the field between both of these teams. Virginia Tech is number 6 in EPA per pass defense. Pitt is number 6 in EPA per pass offense. So that's a, you know, strength on strength here. This might be a touch of bias, but I think Virginia Tech is going to be able to hang in this game at least a little bit. I don't know that they can win the game. I take that back. They can win the game. I don't know that I expect them to win the game, But this feels like a field goal game one way or another, and the fact that this line is up at 5, I don't buy it. I'm going to take Virginia Tech plus the 5 here because I think that their defense is going to hang them in this game for a little while.
This is the hardest one that I had to pick. Everything, all the logic in the world tells me to take Pitt, but then the gambler in me says take the home team, catch some points. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to take the home team, catch some points.
I think it's the smart play here. Pat Narduzzi, as much as that offense has changed to where they cannot run the ball, he still finds a way to get into the mud in some of these games, and he would be happy to get out of here with a 1-2-3-point victory. So I don't think he's going to be trying to take a ton of risks or anything like that against this Hokie defense. So I am absolutely rolling with Virginia Tech plus 5, and you're going to do the same, all right? Let's see. All right, we got another 3:30 p.m. game, and this one's a lot of fun. The storyline here, it's 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. BYU heads to Baylor. Baylor is a 6.5-point favorite right now. Of course, the odds provided by BetUS. Again, click the link in the description to get signed up over there. 50.5 is the total. Baylor, number 6 in EPA per play margin and number 10 in quality drive ratio. They are really, really good. Like, their offense kind of disappeared for a little bit after they finally put some stuff on film after those first three drives against Iowa State. But they got the Iowa State win, and then they lost to Oklahoma State, who has one hell of a defense. Baylor is pretty good. I mean, they are pretty good. Baylor is... their offense is great. Jeff Grimes came over from BYU last year. He led that unit with Zach Wilson and that bunch to an 11-1 record, and they were wiping the floor with a lot of teams. Now he comes over to Baylor, and what he's done is basically set this team up very much in a Bill Belichick fashion. We've talked about it before. He doesn't ask his quarterback to do stuff that he can't do. Like, he just finds what he's good at and makes him do that. And they kind of hide Gary Bohannon, whatever his name is. They kind of hide him, and they don't make him risk anything. He has zero turnover-worthy throws thus far this season. And the offensive line is playing insanely well, especially considering that they were so bad last year. And it's the same guys. So you know that they have been taught this offseason. I like Baylor a lot. But I will tell you this, the BYU defense is something to be reckoned with, and BYU, you know, lower 30s in quality drive ratio and in their EPA per play margin, but this line was at 5 even just on Wednesday, and now it's all the way up at 6.5. Like, I'm going to roll BYU because I think this turns into a rock fight here. Like, this feels like a field goal game. This feels like a 21-17 kind of game, and I'll take the points there, even on the road. Because I don't think BYU likes the taste of that loss in their mouth from last week against Boise.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going. I love what Dave Aranda is doing, okay? I think what he's doing is remarkable and unbelievable, and he should be commended for it. And it's a little unpredictable. Nobody saw him being this good this early. But BYU is a different beast. What we saw last week at BYU is not the BYU football team we've seen all year long. Do you think that 2 weeks in a row they're going to turn the football over a bunch and commit a bunch of penalties? Because if they don't do that, even Baylor can win this game and not cover.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. So, I don't.
That's just it. What we saw from BYU last week is an anomaly. It's not what BYU is. Because they haven't done that all year long.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong about that. You are not wrong. So we're both riding BYU plus 6.5. Baylor can absolutely still win this game. But this, like I said, this feels like a rock fight. This feels like two teams that like to get down in the mud. And I will take it to be closer than a touchdown for sure. We have got a few more games here, so let's go ahead and ride through those. We have got a 7:30 p.m. ACC Network game. NC State at Boston College, both teams with only one loss on the season. Boston College, a 3-point underdog at home, total of 52. Brother, I like the Wolfpack. I'll go ahead and tell you that right out of the gate. NC State minus three. My line was actually NC State minus three. And then I started digging through some more of the numbers. We've actually got film on Dennis Grossell now, the quarterback at Boston College. You're not going to be able to do to NC State what you did against Missouri. That's just not going to happen. And we saw Clemson was able to shut them down. I think NC State can do a lot of the same things. NC State's defense, number 20 in EPA per play, at Boston College is just not that good. I like Jeff Hafley. I like what he's doing. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to build up that roster. But without their starting quarterback, I don't trust Boston College, even at home in a night game. I'm going to take NC State to cover minus three on the road here.
That's the right answer for this. NC State's the best team in the ACC. I don't think it's close. I think they're really good. I think BC's good. I think Wake Forest is good. But, you know, I think this is the best team in the ACC. I think they're the most complete team. They can play offense. They can play defense. They can, you know, they can put up points. They can do anything they need to do to win the football game. I'm done trying to figure out what happened when a team has a letdown here or makes a big mistake there. Like, everyone wants an explanation for what happened at Mississippi State. Hey, you went on the road. You went on the road in the SEC game on 9/11 where Mississippi State had, like, this big, huge, like, celebration thing, and you got beat. That's what happened. It's not that hard to figure out. But does that mean they're not the best team in the ACC? No, they're still the best team in the ACC.
Well, and they also lost their two best defenders in the game against Mississippi State. So, you know, I expect Tim Beck's offense to have some answers here. Their advanced metrics are not great on offense at NC State, but also they can get really creative and they can find ways to produce points. I like Devin Leary. I like what they're doing with the offense. I'll roll with them. So we're both taking NC State minus the three here. Let's see. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, we have got a game on ESPN2, Iowa State heading to Kansas State. And, brother, this one is very interesting. Kansas State, a 6.5-point dog, total of 50.5. Last year, Iowa State won this game 42-0. I mean, just destroyed them. It might have been 42-6. I wonder if I wrote this down wrong. Or 42-3. I don't know. 42-something. It was a bloodshed. I'll say that. It was a bludgeoning. Iowa State is number 11 in EPA per play this year. They got hammered out of the gate against Baylor and had to fight to come back in that game and got within a 2-point conversion. I mean, shut them down after the first three drives. Baylor won it 31-29, but you know, they were down 21-0 quick. So I'm going to roll Iowa State here. I don't feel great about it, but Iowa State minus 6.5 is the play for me. Kansas State number 60 in EPA per play margin. I just don't know that Kansas State can muster enough against this defense. It's two teams that play very similarly, and while I do think sometimes that can lead to a rock fight, in a lot of instances, I think just the overall better team comes out ahead, and that's what I'm expecting from Iowa State here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Kansas State just because I get the home team catching points. I think they're a tough football team. I don't think they're a good football team, but I do think they're a tough football team. They play well. They play disciplined. You know, I just think some of this is I just don't think a whole lot of Iowa State right now.
Well, I will say this. I'm kind of banking on Iowa State not making a ton of mistakes, like not having a bunch of turnovers and whatnot. And I don't know that I should necessarily do that. If Kansas State gets them to turn the ball over, gets them to, you know, commit a bunch of penalties, et cetera, then yes, Kansas State can absolutely, they can win this game outright. So Iowa State is good as far as the advanced metrics, but you make mistakes. I mean, it's very much an Arizona State kind of thing where Arizona State against BYU just kind of gave them the game. You know, that could be the same situation here.
Yeah.
So,
totally agree.
All right, Kansas State plus 6.5 for you. Iowa State minus 6.5 for me. Let's move on. We have got, three more. ESPNU, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Stanford heading to Washington State. I know you love talking about your boy Rolo. There's some crazy stuff going on in Pullman, Washington right now with that situation. We ain't going to dive into the politics of it, but Washington State is a 1.5-point underdog. They've gotten some big wins here lately. Total of 52.5. Washington State, number 27 EPA per pass defense, and that's Stanford's strength on offense. So I kind of like what Washington State is doing. You know, the run and shoot offense is really working now that they've got Jaden Delora back. Here's a very interesting stat I pulled up. Stanford is dead last in field goal margin, or not field goal, field position margin. And Washington State is number 38. Like, Stanford is awful at where they give other teams the ball. And I think it's going to hurt them in this spot. Like, going on the road to Pullman, that's not an easy place to play, especially at night, especially when you've got a Washington State team that's got a lot to play for. So I'm going to take Washington State to win this game outright. My line on it was Washington State minus two. Like, I will absolutely take the Cougars to win this game outright.
Yeah, this is one of my plays in the SBR show. I just think Washington State's too good. Rolo with the quarterback is totally different than Rolo without a quarterback. It just is. That's just it. And he's got his quarterback. And as long as he's healthy and upright, then they're going to be okay. And you give them good field position.
Oh, did we lose you? I think we lost Chris. Oh, these phone calls, man, I swear. Chris, are you back? And nothing. Okay. There it went. There it went. All right. We will finish this thing out. Let me see if I can get him back on the call here. But man, just how crazy is that? Yes, I agree with him about Washington State. But that is,
I have not moved for the last 45 minutes, and I can hear you perfectly.
We completely shut it down. I don't know what happened. So all right, so we're both riding Washington State plus 1.5. That works. Yeah. And we've got two more, so let's go on and ride through them. Another Pac-12 after dark game, and let's dive into it. 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on Fox, UCLA at Washington. The Huskies favored by a point. The total is 54.5. UCLA number 30 in EPA per rushing offense. Washington is number 104 in EPA per rush defense. Washington is number 49 in EPA per passing offense. UCLA is number 103 in that spot on defense. UCLA number 1 in net field position. Washington number 100. There's a lot of things that favor UCLA in this spot, but there are a couple of things here and there that could make you think Washington can win this game. They're favored by a point. This line stinks. This line absolutely stinks to me. And brother, I am all over Washington in this spot because the line is awful. I mean, this makes no sense. I had UCLA minus 4 in this spot, and that's including the home field advantage for Washington. I'm going to take Washington because I feel like they know something that I don't.
Well, you can do that, and I'm going to ride Chip. I'm going to ride DTR. I just think, look, this UCLA team is an up-and-down team. They're not great, but I think Washington's bad. I don't think they're very good. And you know, I'm going to keep riding with what my eyes tell me.
I can understand that. I can understand that because I'm basically betting this blindly, right? Like, that's – because it doesn't make sense to me, so I'm going to go the opposite direction. I don't understand why Washington would be favored in this spot. So, yeah, I'm gonna take them. And you're going to ride UCLA plus 1. We got one more game to dive into before we close this out here, and that would be FS2 game. This is a little bit earlier. I did everything else chronologically, but this one's a 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Fresno State heading to Laramie, Wyoming. And Wyoming is a 3.5-point dog here, total of 54. Chris, Fresno is top 15 in the country in quality drive ratio, in their defense and offensive success rates. Wyoming, on the other side, number 18 in EPA per play margin. They are number 17 in EPA per pass defense, and that's big because Fresno moves the ball a lot through the air. Like, that, they are – Jake Haner is a big part of why Fresno is so good. I think that this is going to be a close ball game. I think Wyoming is going to win the game outright. Like, you know, I'm a big Cowboys homer. I like what Craig Bull does. I like his defense and whatnot. I think this is a perfect spot for them. Fresno has not played as well as of late. Ever since that UCLA win, they just have not played as well once they got into conference play. I expect Wyoming to be able to cover this 3.5. And like I said, I think that they're going to win the game. So I'm definitely going to toss them into one of my round robins on Saturday morning. But this is, you know, I like the Cowboys here. I like Craig Bohl.
Yeah, I'm still riding with Fresno. I think they're the better football team, and I'm just not giving up on them. I know they haven't looked great, but they're still good enough for me.
I mean, it makes sense. Jake Haener, like all that explosive ability. I mean, you pop a couple of those big plays against Wyoming. Yeah, I could totally see it. I am basically banking on Wyoming to shut down those explosive plays and keep the ball away from them. So, and I think that rushing attack can do that. So I'm going to bank on the Cowboys. You're going to bank on Fresno. I like it. All right, man. We are almost at the hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go, and I'm going to close this thing out. So sound good?
See you, buddy.
All right, later, yep. Bud. Yeah. All right, so we appreciate Chris jumping in, of course. It's always a little bit crazy on these weekday shows with him having to call in, but either way, there we go. I'm going to go ahead and get us out of here. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to BetUS and sign up there. The show is brought to you by them. Use the promo code NCAAF2021. You get 125% deposit bonus up to $2,500, and it is sportsbook exclusive. That means that you can use all of that to gamble on football, and you absolutely should, because we're trying to help you out with winners here. We hadn't been great, but last week was definitely a good one. I went 8-3. Chris went 7-4. Always a good time. So go and check those out. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Make sure that you go and subscribe to the YouTube channels where Chris does the Sportsbook Review College Football Show, and I do the BetUS College Football Show. There's a link in the description on YouTube and the podcast for both of those. So go ahead and check them out. Do your thing. We appreciate all of you for being here. It's been another fun week. Hopefully you will join us on Sunday morning for the live reaction show to the college football weekend that was, I am sure, that we are going to have some crazy things happen again this week. With that said, hopefully all of you have good weekends and good Fridays and everything else. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And we hope that all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.